Hi, patrons. We're talking about water conservation. Glad you joined us.
So when I was a kid living in San Diego, I had this fear, and it was a recurring nightmare for me, that because a drought, the drought was so prevalent, everybody was talking about it, everybody was worried about it, like, shouldn't water your lawn, you shouldn't turn on your hose, you shouldn't yada, 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 that I was going to be the person who used the last drop of water. And I would know that I would be the person who used the last drop of water because a message, an audio message from the president, then President Bush, would play through the faucet. And it was a recurring nightmare for me.
This was actually a nightmare you had in your dreams?
My dream, yeah.
Read my lips, no more water.
Well, and like, you could almost like barely hear it. That there was like some like it was, and it was like very, it wasn't accusatory, and it wasn't like, Justin, you was the last, it was like,
it was just like, that's what the dream was about.
George Bush, and this is if you are hearing this recording, there is no more water in America. You've used the last drop. Please report. I mean, like, I now I'm filling it in.
And it was you. As a kid in San Diego. That's so sad.
I was very, listen, man, I've always been a very scared person.
Very sensitive kid.
Very inventively sensitive.
I mean, as far as nightmares go, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have grown out of them, but I certainly haven't. I have weird nightmares all the time.
Oh, I almost rarely have dreams anymore.
Oh, I do. And they're sometimes horrible.
So sad, Justin.
You want to know who? Yeah, I know. We don't dream anymore. You know who has horrifying nightmares is Brett Rounseville.
Oh, really?
Brett Rounseville will describe nightmares to me that you couldn't write. Like, they are just and they are almost always like gory.
Wow.
Violent. Like,
you know what? He needs to write those down because those could be the beginnings of a good horror series.
I've read some of Roger's dreams. They're good stuff.
Well, Roger and I were talking about this the other day, where it's like some of the worst nightmares are the ones where it's just like you have a bad day at work and then you wake up and you're like, and I got to do it again.
No, I got to go back
like,
to work.
I like just had a bad day of work for 9 hours in my sleep. So unfair.
A lot of times my nightmares are me getting angry. Not
like
not
the
like
Hulk?
No, like things are keep going wrong, and then I just start yelling, and then I wake myself up.
That's wow, you're the only
because
one I
you're
can
not
think
a
of.
Yeller. So it's like
I yell in my dreams. That's
like
why
parallel
I don't yell.
Tom.
All my nightmares involve me running, like I either killed someone or I'm trying to kill someone.
And you don't kill people at all.
Yeah, well, not in real life that you can prove.
I do have the recurring nightmare that's really common where it's like, it's your last semester in college. You haven't gone to this math class. You won't graduate.
Oh, no, I totally have. But mine
like,
is in high
how
school.
How could I have done this?
I just realized I haven't been to this class. Yeah.
I have that probably, you know, once a quarter. Hmm. And every time in the dream, it's like, wouldn't it be nice if I was a lucid dreamer and I could be like, this isn't real. I've already graduated. I have my degree. No problem. But in the dream, you're just like, I can't believe I've screwed up this bad.
I haven't had these as much in the past few years, but I used to get, especially if I napped during the day, I would get the dreams where you can't wake up.
Ooh, I don't know
like,
that dream.
You're like lying in bed and you can hear things happening, but you can't open your eyes and you can't wake up.
That's sleep paralysis. I used to get that a lot.
That gives me the willies.
And then you have to like concentrate really hard and then you pop eyes open and you're fine. You're totally fine.
That's totally sleep paralysis. Yeah. And for a lot of, is it psychiatrist? That's the doctor. The psychologist is the guys who
psychiatrists can prescribe medicines.
I think they're both psychologists, but the psychiatrist is the one that might give you medicine.
They attribute sleep paralysis or psychosis to reports of either body possession or alien abduction reports.
I think what you mean to say is they attribute reports of body abduction to sleep paralysis. Not
exactly. Yeah.
No. It's not that sleep paralysis is caused by body.
No. Yeah.
I've had this reoccurring dream lately, just really in the last year, where it's like my hair's falling out. You know, they talk about like teeth falling out dreams where it's like a loss of control. So I, you know, I Googled it and it's like, what's the hair falling out thing? I've been getting this.
And it turns out alopecia.
It's about the fear that you're losing your looks.
Aww.
I don't need to dream that at night. I already know that.
Yeah. You don't need to dream that. You're fine.
But like, isn't that funny? It's like, it's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. That people dream. And somehow like the hair falling out is part of it. For men
wait, pretty soon. Just trust me. You're going to start dreaming that your hair is growing back.
That was rather a nightmare.
It's like restoration of confidence.
Am I too attractive? Oh, I do know
it. Your hair is out of control. Oh no!
It's like that picture. Did you see that picture of Garrett Weinzierl that he posted today?
No.
On his Twitter, it's like the first time Katie went to BlizzCon. This dude has like, you know, '90s like Black Crow bassist like hair, but it's gigantic. It's like a helmet of it. It's amazing. Look on his Twitter, on Garrett Art.
I'm looking. I don't see it. I see a picture of you.
No, so it's in that thread. That was me responding to it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Is that his hair or part of the Ice Crown Citadel? I can't tell.
That's got to be his hair. That's his hair. I think I've seen other pictures of him with that hair.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was, man, that dude went through some looks.
Well...
By the way, Katie looks exactly the same.
Right? No, I noticed that too. I'm like, except that's Katie right now.
That's Katie, yeah.
Like this moment.
That hair, oh my God. That hair, Jesus, Garrett.
It's the best.
So good.
All righty. How are those earnings looking, Roger?
I'm putting in the Microsoft one right now.
Oh, Amazon, Alpha. Wow. Oh, they all came in at once. Okay.
Yep. Cool. I'm cutting and pasting numbers.
I do not see commercial them.
Amazon financials impressed with better than expected quarter. Microsoft profit rises 16% and Alphabet revenue rises 24% on mobile advertising growth. Those are the three newest headlines.
Yep. That... I see.
It's worth pointing out that I live in a house with someone who owns Alphabet stock, but I cannot benefit from it directly. Should she pass away, it goes to her sister.
Some crazy person has put me as the contact for like a Chevy Blazer that I'm not selling.
Oh. And
I mean, it's not spam that I'm getting in my email. It's like people being like, I really want to hear more about the Blazer. You know, it seems underpriced. Do you have a pink slip? I feel so bad.
If someone wants to sell their car to you?
Oh my God.
Somehow I became the contact for a person selling their car.
There's people who want to buy
the car, and apparently the car is underpriced, and there are a lot of questions that people have, and it's just like,
but they entered in your email?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the scam doesn't work very well if they don't get the emails.
I don't exactly know what happened, but it's like I'm getting like personal emails from people being like, hey, can you tell me more about the car and how's the paint? And, you know, I just feel bad about it. Like, I don't know.
No.
It's not my car.
It's not my car, folks.
Just to answer each one, listen, do you want it or not?
Yeah. Double or nothing. I will take my payment in the blockchain.
Yes, just send me all the Bitcoins. All the Bitcoins.
Justin, I saw Ashley had posted something about having enough Bitcoin. I don't know. So Bitcoin gifted that she could have quite a few pumpkin spice lattes. I thought that was
fun. No, she was given enough Bitcoin to buy a latte like 4 years ago, and she realized today that she could now buy 10 lattes.
Woo! Woo! Don't spend it all in one place.
Oh, that's amazing.
I actually have a friend who, for whatever reason, yeah, back in the day, somebody couldn't pay him for whatever and was like, here's just some Bitcoin. And he was like, yeah, whatever, you know, just, it's basically like, you're not paying me anything. And it's worth like $4,500 now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I still have a few Bitcoins that someone gave me when we were still in the cottage doing Tech News Today, and yeah, Bitcoin had just launched, and the guy, we were talking about Steve Gibson, talking about it on Security Now, and this guy's like, here, let me show you how it works. I'll send you a couple of Bitcoin. They were worth 25 cents or less.
Sure, yeah.
At the time, it was nothing, yeah.
What do we got now? Is it still like 4Gs?
I don't know. Bitcoin, it was up at 6 last week.
Let's see. Really?
Yeah. What do you check? The Winkle Dex? The Wink Dex? 57.32.
Yeah, 59.10. Wow. How about that?
Wait, so Sarah, you said you were not a fan of the Stranger Things, right? The first.
She's only a fan of the strangest things.
Are you going to give the second series a whirl, or are you just out?
I will. And the reason is because I watch lots of television and I'm all caught up on The Deuce, which I actually love a lot. And
so is that good or not? I've gotten conflicting things, but like some of my friends are like obsessed with it. They love it.
The Deuce?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it?
Do you like Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I'm no stan for Mags, but I've enjoyed her work.
I'm a fan. And she's, you know, she's a big part of it, as is James Franco, playing two different characters, which that's is a little kind bit of weird, but whatever.
Two things that scared me off, and one of them was the concept of James Franco playing twins, and the other was the fact that it was called The Deuce and it just sounds like poop. And
yeah,
and you're like,
you've already got your article about when it gets canceled written with the headline HBO drops The Deuce.
Drops the deuce. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Right. I think if it was just called, like, you know, the double cherry or the old black cat, you know,
the double cherry.
Excuse me.
I feel like that would be something that I would watch. I would watch that. I mean, I guess you can't really do a double thing. I guess no, this is The Deuce and there's twins in it. Like, so they already hit that pun, right?
They could have just like reused vinyl.
What a stinker that was. The Deuce, I think it's a very good show. And, you know, not to spoil it for anybody, but it's, you know, it's the content is not safe for work.
Of course, not
for everybody, and kind of, you know, disturbing and the whole thing. But yeah, I think it's a really good show.
All right. Roger is busily working away on these earnings reports, which thankfully all came in before 1:30. That doesn't always happen.
No, that's about right.
Sometimes, like, especially Apple, they like trickle in at 1:40. They're just jerks. But yeah, so
especially with Apple, it's like you want to see, like, what did Tim Cook say on the call?
Well, there's that. Like, the earnings don't come out right after 1 o'clock, and then the call doesn't start until after 2, so we don't get it till the next day.
Mm-hmm. But no, Stranger Things season 2, I'll get there eventually, I think. I am so into Broad City right now. That's like all I care about.
And that's airing now, right? That's new episodes now.
Yeah, season 3 or 4? I think it's 3. It's hysterical. Just mind-blowingly hysterical.
It's really difficult to make the transition from TV is something everybody has an opportunity to watch, whatever you're watching, to this is books. This is books now. And I may get around to reading the book you like, I may not.
Right. Or like, oh, that sounds like a cool book. Where do I get that book?
Yeah.
Where do I get that show? What network?
I was talking to a guy who was recommending Riverdale, and I was like, yeah, I've heard good things about it. He's like, oh, yeah, no, check it out. Let me know what you think. And I'm like, that's like, you know, asking me, like, go buy this book and read it tomorrow. Like,
right. Like, there's so many steps involved.
Yeah. Well, and I just don't know. I've already got 30 shows.
Riverdale is filmed at my alma mater, Annalee High School in Sebastopol, California.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So wait. So the way that we, before we, I mean, I guess we're here for the patrons, but like, mm-hmm. if we're buying this iPhone X, right?
Oh, we're streaming. We're streaming live on video there, Justin.
We got to go and favorite it in the app.
Is that, we don't have to, but that's a technique. Is you favorite it, you can even share it to yourself on text message and get a link where you can then click that will take you right to the page where you order, so you don't have to go through all the steps.
Doing it.
Don't do it, people.
So I showed off my Sonos Ones, sort of.
Yes, you
yesterday.
Did.
The setup process, as is typical with Sonos, was a little laborious, but they sound great.
Okay, so all right, so
really
so
happy.
30 seconds.
It works with the existing Sonos speakers that you have.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing with Sonos One is it works with Amazon's Alexa.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So that's the. I mean,
so the existing speakers are still dumb speakers.
No, exactly. Yeah, but they
becomes part of the ecosystem. Yeah.
Perfect. So you can just, there we go. All right.
So great. Sarah, will you read line 3 today, please?
Line 3. Yeah, of course.
I will give you the cue. Are you ready?
I am.
I only can control.
Oh, control. Let me.
What is the cue?
Hold on. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Three winks.
Point. Yeah.
And a hair flip.
All right. 3, 2.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, October 26, 2017, at DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And at Studio Feline at the beach, I'm Sarah Lane.
In Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
Producer Roger Chang is here busily documenting earnings palooza for us. Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome.
Of course, it doesn't always happen that everybody announces their earnings on the same day, and then it does. We've got Twitter's already in, LG's already in, Intel's coming, Microsoft's coming, Alphabet's coming, who am I missing? Amazon, all on one day. So we're going to take this opportunity. We'll inform you a little bit about how they did later on in the show, but also talk about how tech companies aren't just big tech companies. They're big companies, some of the biggest companies in the world. Maybe. Are they too big? Let's start with a few tech things you should know. The iPhone X goes on sale at 12:01 a.m. Thursday night, Friday morning. The reports all indicate there won't be many available, so just don't bother. Go with the 8.
Does he want a 10? I see what you did there. AMD actually announced a profitable quarter yesterday, and the company has announced its first Ryzen chips for laptops, the 2.0 gigahertz Ryzen 5 2500U. And the 2.2 gigahertz Ryzen 7 2700U. Both models are referred to as APUs, or accelerated processing units, as they integrate a Radeon Vega GPU. AMD says that the APUs will start showing up in laptops from Acer, HP, and Lenovo this holiday season.
AMD back in it, back in the game.
Yeah.
Going after Intel on the laptop. Here's some more top stories. Facebook is releasing a desktop app for workplace chat for PC and Mac with features like screen sharing. Eventually, it'll add video chat for up to 50 people. Facebook is also redesigning its apps for consistency across the platform. So if you're on iOS and Android, it'll look like the desktop. Facebook announced it has 30,000 organizations using Workplace. If you want to compare that to Slack, Slack has about 50,000 paying customers. They have more customers overall because you don't have to pay. Slack also introduced its own screen sharing feature on Wednesday. So it is interesting to me that Facebook, which has really been pitching this as, sure, Slack, Microsoft Teams, that's for people at desks. Facebook is familiar to everybody. So if you're a receptionist or you're out in the field, it'll be great for all of them. And then says, well, we really should have a desktop version.
Does Skype support something like 50 people on a video chat at once? Because that sounds like mayhem to me.
And it's not live. I mean, Facebook Workplace did support live one-on-one chat. This is like not only video conference, but also you could like pop in and leave as you please, and even see it later.
It's more for presentations than necessarily like a UN situation where you need 50 people that are all going to talk at the same time.
I was more thinking of the Galactic Republic, but yeah, same sort of.
So this is how democracy dies.
Well, the next time you have to make a complicated few stops on your Uber ride, I have good news, because the company is rolling out multi-stop trips to riders in North America. The feature's been active for a small number of users since May, and then there was a bigger rollout in August. It was outside of North America, and now the feature is live in the US and Canada, with other markets such as the UK and Ireland on the way. So, as a rider, you can add up to 3 stops in a single ride and then edit that in real time as you are riding along. This is my dream. It used to be that on an Uber ride, if for some reason you had to maybe pick up a friend before you went to the place that they told you to go, you know, it was like a whole mumble grumble thing because they weren't getting the money that, you know, they wanted to get for the time. And then recently it was like, oh, if I just change the destination mid-trip, is that fine? And the Uber driver was like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm still getting money. So now they're making it more seamless because this actually happens, at least for me, all the time.
I'm with you. This has happened for me a bunch of times, and I've had to have that weird like conversation, like okay, so we're gonna stop here, but that's not gonna be the end of the ride. I'm gonna keep going, and I'm gonna make the turnaround and go walk back and meet my wife. And yeah, no, this is fantastic.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Although not on Lyft, this is on Uber.
It is. In fact, this happened to me last Friday because I had to go to Guitar Center to pick up some supplies super last minute for a DTNS. In fact, when I was up in San Francisco last week, and it was like, I had to go there, but I didn't want to get two Ubers. I just wanted the one. So I was like, can you just wait for me for 2 seconds while I run in there? I'll change my destination back to the place that I came from. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, it was clunky. You know, he was happy to do it, but it was clunky. So I'm glad the feature is added.
Great idea is to just set the 2 destinations, where you're going and your house. We're picking up and we are dropping off. That's amazing. Waymo announced Thursday that it will begin testing its autonomous Chrysler Pacifica minivans in Detroit to see how they do in wet and cold conditions. Waymo has done some cold weather tests, but mostly have tested in sunny locations like Phoenix, Silicon Valley, and Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I think this is significant because, as I mentioned when we were talking earlier today, Jerry, a lot of people complain when we talk about autonomous cars. They're like, yeah, sure, it's great in the sunshine. It'll never work up here where I live, where the snow is always 30 feet deep in July, and it's horrible. And yes, that is a significant issue for these companies, but they can do it. They just need to do more testing. And so Waymo moving more into Detroit, they already had a location there, but saying, hey, we're going to do a full suite of tests up there to try to crack wet driving, particularly, and winter driving, is good progress.
Is the idea behind the fact that that's so much more problematic that, like, let's say an autonomous vehicle stops short on ice and then, you know, sort of drifts for a while and you can't really predict that?
Yeah, there's that, and then snow and ice covering lane markings or signs.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the biggest thing is trying to figure out with the LiDAR exactly how you handle inclement weather conditions where elements of the road are not what they are expecting them
to. The rain messes with LiDAR a lot too. So, yeah, it's a good one.
Good news for ears. Cochlear's made for iPhone Nucleus 7 sound processor hearing implant, now available in Australia. The implant, which was announced in July, lets users with profound hearing loss hear audio from their iPhone directly into the implant in their ear. The Nucleus 7 will be available outside Australia in the coming months.
Yeah, this is a follow-up for us because we talked about this back in July, but I love this idea. Not because it's Apple, but because it's the kind of thing I think we should be seeing more of from technology, which is saying, hey, let's take this thing that is a supercomputer in your pocket. Let's make it work for all kinds of different situations.
You know, I think Apple has, if there's one thing they do commend Apple for that I don't think is very controversial, is their commitment to accessibility and disability. And they have tried to push that forward. A cochlear is something that was a miracle for many people with hearing loss in terms of regaining those functions. And, you know, this is something that not only do I think is great for this, but also, you know, going forward, you know, if we are on the world to a less tethered soundscape from our devices, you got to wonder how far away some of these are for even cosmetic purposes.
Now, I don't mean this to sound like, hey, people with hearing loss have it so easy now, but it is interesting that...
Nor should you.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But it is interesting that if you have this implant, you now, in some ways, have a really great experience that rivals the experience of someone who doesn't have to compensate for that because it's easy. That's how it should work. It should level the playing field like that.
Yes.
Twitter will no longer take advertising from media companies RT. RT, formerly Russia Today. They're trying to hide the Russia part by calling themselves RT now. And another one called Sputnik. Sputnik and RT will not be accepted as advertisers on Twitter because Twitter believes the companies interfered in the 2016 U.S. election. Both companies will retain their Twitter accounts, however. So RT is already criticizing Jack Dorsey and saying, oh, remind him of that pitch meeting where they tried to convince us to spend all that money back in the day. Twitter will donate the $1.9 million that it has collected from the two companies over the years to research on civic engagement in elections.
You know, this always bugs me because as a Tweetbot user, I don't ever see any advertisements. Mm. But that's one of the beauties of being a Tweetbot user.
One of the reasons Twitter doesn't like Tweetbot so much either, I guess.
Exactly, right, exactly. So it's like anytime I hear anything about Twitter advertisements, I'm like, don't see them. Wonder how that works. But at the same time, it's like Twitter is also like, there's so much engagement here. We don't want to like screw your accounts. We're just going to, you know, kind of slap you on the wrist for doing something that the public is going to applaud us for. But
this is the only public that they care about is Congress right now. They are staring down the barrel of a gun of what could possibly be game-changing ways that they're going to have to classify political spending. I don't think we're going to get to another. I don't think we're going to get to midterms in 2018, let alone another presidential election when tons of money is spent without there being some kind of either a new set of laws that govern it or what Twitter is doing right now, which is self-imposing restrictions and wearing the hair suit and flogging themselves in the public square. So Congress knows, well, these companies really take this seriously, so maybe we don't have to be as draconian in this new law as we go forward.
It is a sea change, isn't it? And in the internet built on the principle of safe harbor, where I can start a platform and say, I am not telling people what to say outside of things that are strictly illegal, to saying, you know what? Maybe these are illegal, and so I'm just going to get rid of them. I'm going to overcorrect.
What's kind of wild is if this election had not been, by I think many objective measurements, one of the biggest upsets in recorded history, you have to wonder whether that kind of ad spend with those kinds of accounts would have ever even been looked at twice. You know, like it was we have the result and now we are looking for the reasons why. And now we are taking a look at stuff, which I think is worth looking into, tracking political spending on these platforms the way that we do on television and radio. But I don't think if the election had gone the other way that we would necessarily be looking at any.
Well, and I don't think these have the effect that people think they have. I'm not saying they don't have an effect, but I think they are different effects. And it's a little bit of throwing darts to try to police them now by saying, okay, get rid of RT and Sputnik. Well, okay, did you really fix the problem, though? What was the problem? Was there a problem? Was the problem what you thought it was? So I think you nailed it, Justin, when you said they are doing this for Congress because they are under the gun. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. It'll take you but 5 minutes to listen, and you'll be so up to date. Comes to you as a podcast. Also, on
a delightful 5 minutes.
I know, it is. Amazon Echo, Flash Briefing, Google Home, Anchor, the Anchor app, where you even get little calls from people, which make it even more delightful.
A new Sonos One, which I happen to have, which hooks into Alexa.
Check that out.
I've been talking to that thing all day long.
So you can get Sarah, myself, occasionally Rich Straffolino, occasionally Justin's voices in your ears every morning. It's keeping you up to date. Or maybe afternoon. Depends on your time zone. DailyTechHeadlines.com. That's a look at our top stories. All right, let's kick off Earnings Palooza. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Twitter monthly active users grew 4%, and everybody's very excited. Not only that, but Twitter daily active users grew 14%. So of the monthly active users, they're using it more often. Revenue fell 4% to $590 million, and adjusted earnings per share were 10 cents, 10 cents a share. Company turned some heads, though, by saying they expect to turn a profit in Q4 due to cost cutting. So we're gonna go through all of these real quick and then kind of step back and try to think about what they mean. But quick responses to Twitter, Sarah.
Well, cost cutting means we're firing people. San Francisco is Twitter's headquarters. There are some other folks spread around the world on Twitter, but most of the people are in San Francisco. It's a huge building. Lots of people work there. And that's what that means. The 4% growth year over year is, that's no good. it just isn't. You know, that's nothing. It's not a loss.
Better
but
than a decline.
That's not the kind of growth that Twitter needs. And also, as we kind of alluded to earlier, Twitter is built on a lot of fake data. And when I say fake, I mean just bot stuff, you know, or troll stuff or stuff that's not going to contribute to the company robustly growing and nurturing its community. So that's what I think about that.
Justin, an addendum.
They need that need to crawl out of that $1.9 million hole.
Yeah. Stoic Squirrel in the chat room says, so there are 4% more bots on Twitter. I get it. Alphabet earnings in adjusted earnings per share of $9.57. Wow. Revenue of $27.77 billion versus $27.2 billion that was expected. The CPC decline of 21% versus an expected decline of 16.3%. So a little bigger cost per click decline. Aggregated paid clicks, though, rose 47%, which is more than expected. And the big win was on mobile. Everybody was looking at mobile. Are they going to keep earnings on mobile? And they did. Mobile turned out well for Alphabet. And when we're talking about Alphabet, we're pretty much talking about Google. All the other bets, because they reported as Google revenue and other bets. Other bets is always losing. It'll be interesting to look over those numbers and see if they're losing less than they used to or anything like that. But quick response to Alphabet. Justin.
This is the absolute dismantling of any and all advertising options. Google obviously has become a massive company, being there to provide the place to advertise anything, and they are continuing to do that as the rest of the world burns.
Yeah, 24% jump in mobile advertising. That's huge. Sarah, an addendum.
The only thing I would say is I know that when we think of Alphabet, we still think of Google, and that's partly because the name change happened fairly recently, but the Alphabet game is long, right? It's sort of futuristic stuff. It's AI, it's autonomous driving. It's stuff that I think is actually going to be a huge player in the not too distant future. So yeah, it's a bit of a lost leader right now, but I think Google has really gone all in on we're going to figure some other things out under the Alphabet brand. And I think that that's probably going to come to fruition sooner than later.
Yeah, no, point well taken. Although they're a lost follower, right, rather than a leader.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Amazon earnings are in $43.7 billion, beating expectations, 52 cents a share. It was expected to have 3 cents a share. Amazon Web Services, which is one of the big engines, $4.58 billion, beating expectations. First time that Amazon Web Services passed $4 billion in sales, but Amazon Web Service revenue growth has declined for 9 consecutive quarters. Amazon Web Service revenue was flat compared to the prior quarter. So good sales, but maybe not so good overall, but at least it's stable. Amazon shares were up 7% in after hours trading, so people aren't thinking this is too bad, but impressive. They had impressive numbers because of that revenue, $43.74 billion. Quick response, Sarah.
My response is that Amazon is just on the up and up. The company is... there's just, I don't know. I mean, when it comes to like Amazon Web Services, we talked about this yesterday, I guess, that it's really a leader as far as cloud computing goes. And other companies are going to catch up. And I think we'll see some of these huge numbers fall off a little bit. But whoever's in charge, and I'm not talking about Jeff Bezos necessarily, but, you know, just in general, it's like they do know what... areas of business to target. And, you know, I mean, in what area is Amazon really failing?
They're a juggernaut. I can't think of one. They are a juggernaut right now.
Listen, number one, when it comes to Amazon Web Services, sure, it will get more saturated as more and more big players do it, but they are in the concrete business. Like, it is how the rest of the world will do all business going forward. This is going to be an only larger pie for them to split. And remember, it wasn't too long ago that Amazon was kind of a controversial stock because they weren't taking enough profit. They were constantly reinvesting too much. They had such thin profit margins on the stuff they were selling. And now it seems that Amazon has gotten investors to install the automatically unlocking lock to their hearts.
That's one of the funny things that, you know, when I think about Amazon as a business, it's like, well, okay, 5 years ago, we were like, are they going to kill the mom and pop stores? And it's like, we have so transcended that conversation.
Are they going to kill all the stores everywhere? All right, on to Microsoft. We got two more to get to. Microsoft. 84 cents a share versus 72 cents expected, $24.54 billion versus $23.56 billion expected, and Microsoft beat its own self-imposed goal of $20 billion in annualized revenue for the cloud business. This is the brilliance of Satya Nadella right now, is that he refocused Microsoft on cloud so that Azure, Office 365, Dynamics 365, that's all bringing in the bucks. And the decline in Windows, not even a story right now. Justin, what do you think?
Satya Mania running wild, baby. This is a like exactly what you said. They focused on the right things. They are, again, I think, a dynamic player in a thriving field as opposed to chasing the rest of the tech industry by its tail and you know, trying to cling to some of the legacy business models.
Quick thought on Microsoft, Sarah?
I got nothing.
It's nothing more to say. Intel, $1 earnings per share versus 80 cents. Overall revenue of $16.15 billion versus $15.73 billion expected. Client computing revenue beat expectations. Intel expects its full year earnings to be $3.25 a share on revenue of $62 billion. Good news. It was good news for Intel. And frankly, that wraps this up because it's good news for all of these huge companies, even Twitter. Twitter was probably the worst news of the bunch, but it was a decent report as far as Twitter reports go. Alphabet killing expectations, Amazon, Microsoft. These are, if you look at it by market cap, among the biggest companies in existence. We're not just talking about, oh, they're pretty big companies for tech. The number one by a market cap is Apple, followed by Alphabet, followed by Microsoft, followed by Amazon. Then you get Berkshire Hathaway and Exxon. Now, it's not the same by revenue. In fact, Alphabet isn't even in the top by revenue. By revenue, you're talking about oil companies, Royal Dutch Shell, Saudi Aramco. But Amazon, Apple are creeping in to that top 500 list. And the longer these companies remain on target, the reason their market cap is so big is because people are driving up their stock because they think those revenues are just going to grow. What I want to finish on is, what do you guys think that means for us? I'm used to this being, hey, these tech companies, they're interesting. I bet not too many people know about them. And now it's the dominant theme.
Well, it was sort of like what we were talking about Amazon a few minutes ago. Amazon is a tech company, sure, but it provides these services that are everyday life stuff. So it's like, sure, Nabisco or, you know, an oil company or Exxon. Everybody needs oil, right, for their cars. It's like we have now gotten to a point where everybody needs Amazon, right? This is part of the way that people live their lives. And this is a global thing. Not a North American thing, not a US thing. It's not a tech person thing, not a Silicon Valley thing. It's a global thing more than ever. So that's why these companies matter, and they're not niche companies anymore. They're as big as any other company.
You know, when you look at what these gigantic companies do, you mention oil. Why is oil the number one? You know, by revenue, the number one genre by revenue, because everybody needs oil to make the world move. You need it for gasoline. You need it for, you know, it is its own currency. There is a very real, to me, parallel between that and cloud computing. The idea that we will only need more cloud computing for more businesses, and that when those requirements will only become more demanding as more and more people have high-speed internet, more and more people are building applications that are demanding of video and higher and higher resolutions. This is a boom time for all these companies that have gotten into it. It's the reason why Amazon is where it is, on top of the fact that they have, you know, I almost made a joke, but we were running through it, that they are going to be killing mom and pop businesses like Walmart, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, Amazon makes cement is exactly right. Alphabet, Sarah, you nailed it. Their bet is, hey, even if search ads decline in the future, we've got all these other bets that are going to pay off in the long game. Microsoft has made the shift to cloud, which is brilliant. The question is, what else are they going to be able to do in the long term? They're starting to look like a smaller company. And Apple is yet to launch that next new thing where we go, oh, that's what they'll be big at.
The HomePod, Tom, the HomePod.
Yes, it's obviously the HomePod.
One thing about Twitter. We all got that friend that we all went to high school or college with that's living with their parents, and everybody else has kind of moved out and gotten on with their lives, found spouses or live-in roommates. You know, I feel like Twitter's that friend, and finally they're moving out of their parents' basement. They're gonna be profitable.
They can finally afford their own place.
They're like, listen, I'm done with it. I'm out of here. By Q4, I'm out of this basement.
Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. It helps us figure out which stories to talk about each day. You can submit stories, vote on them, and talk with other folks about stuff. We had a great thread in there about foreign language podcasts, non-English language podcasts the other day. DailyTechNewsShow.reddit.com, and jump in our Facebook group and start chatting about stuff there. Facebook.com/groups/DailyTechNewsShow.
So we really hit a nerve when we talked about the idea of coffee shops and ambient noise and how people can at work most effectively. And again, it's not a one-stop shop for everybody. Derek, who is Derek in our DTNS boss's Slack, wrote in and said, okay, I'm coming to you from chilly Comica, Ontario, Canada. Derek, stay warm, please. I wanted to write in because of the recent mentions around coffeetivity. Coffeetivity was the service that allowed you to listen to something that sounded like an ambient coffee shop when you weren't actually in one. Says, the research that exists around how ambient noise can increase productivity. For anybody who enjoys sites like Coffeetivity, I wanted to let them know about ambient/mixer.com. It's a great site where the community has assembled hundreds of different soundscapes, sitting by a fire, sitting by a beach, patio, listening to music, Buddhist temples. There is something for everybody. And I even made my own, which reminds me of vacationing in Portugal. And then he links to it, and we will link to that in our show notes as well. Sounds really good, Derek.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. I can't wait to make my listening to a fire in a Buddhist temple by the beach sounds.
In Portugal.
Yeah. And then Nick, co-executive producer of the show, wrote, I work for the Hawaii State Judiciary in a technical capacity and wanted to chime in on the pedestrian issue. I work remotely and have for nearly a decade. You were absolutely correct that it has to do with Waikiki and tourists. Honolulu has a huge problem with pedestrians getting hit in Waikiki, most of them tourists. It causes tourist money to decrease, but it also costs the local economy a lot of money in hospital bills and PR issues. If a tourist from another country gets hit and has to go to the hospital generally eats the cost and then complains to the local government. Several years ago, they increased jaywalking tickets and had police shifts specifically for it. So if you were a cop and it was your jaywalking day, you spent all day in Waikiki ticketing jaywalkers. So much so that in my time working there, I no longer jaywalk anywhere, even in Lawrence, Kansas, a fairly small college town where I live. The cell phone fine is another step in trying to decrease pedestrian accidents. Mahalo, Nick, former owner of Gavel McLeod. That's actually my gavel that I use on Current Geek. This was sent by Nick. Thank you again, Nick.
I'm walking.
Yeah, it makes sense that Honolulu particularly would be, you know, subject to a lot of sort of, oh, tourists who don't know where they are, clueless, looking at maps type thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us. Justin Robert Young, what do you got going on to tell folks about?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I got a new show with your friend of mine, Scott Johnson, who is also a contributor here on Daily Tech News Show. And it's called Unfriend Me. We go into the kinds of conversations that lose your friends and family on social media and in real life. We have done shows on gun control and healthcare and kneeling for the national anthem. And this week's episode was fake news. I was very, very proud of it. And if you would like a deep dive into the issue itself, a reasonable conversation, then followed by unscreened phone calls, which is simultaneously the hardest and dumbest thing either of us have ever done, then go ahead and check it out. Unfriend Me on any and all pod catching services.
I would love it.
All right. Tomorrow is our first roundtable show as part of the new milestone we passed this month. If you are supporting us at the advisor level, you can vote on one of the topics of the show right now. Just look for the poll at patreon.com/DTNS. If you haven't found it already, a bunch of you have already voted. Again, you have to be at the advisor level to make that vote. That's one of the perks. Huge thanks to everybody who supports the show, making it possible to try new things like a roundtable. No matter how you support the show, you got us to the point where we can do this. So it'll be Shannon Morse and Aaron Carson tomorrow, along with myself and Sarah Lane, talking about four topics across an hour-long show, getting a little more in-depth, a little more conversation going on. So again, thank you to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/DTNS.
And we want to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, ideas, criticisms, anything, please write us feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC, at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website, of course, is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Shannon Morse, Aaron Carson joining us tomorrow for the Roundtable Show. It's a final Friday with Len Peralta, too. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I gotta figure out a cool hat for tomorrow.
Oh yeah, roundtable.
I really
hat.
Want, like. I don't want my Friday hat day to be like, it's Friday hat day. I want it to be like, I've thought about this hat.
I've put a lot of work into this hat.
This is the hat that I chose, and here's why.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
I mean, it's probably just going to be a San Francisco Giants hat because I'm a troll. But you know, I have other options. I got quite a few hats.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy these World Series?
Oh my gosh, last night's game was so good. And the thing is, here's the thing. I'm a Giants fan, hate the Dodgers, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But I have friends who are Dodgers fans.
Yes.
So I don't hate the idea of the Dodgers winning because I have friends who are happy about it. It's baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't want to have to hate your friends because they're happy.
You know, when as a Steelers fan growing up in South Florida, like even now living in California, I find myself involved in the Dolphins, like just because I know my friends are invested. It's what we're going to talk about. Like there's just it's this weird phantom limb. Like even if you don't like the team, you hate the team, you'll always root against the team. You want to make fun of the team. It's like, I hope now that everything's settled, you know, if my friends were happy, it wouldn't be the worst thing on the planet.
One of my friends who's a big Dodger fan, you know, grew up in the Inland Empire, like he's Dodgers all the way. Last night, we were on a group text about sports, and he was like, "I'm having cardiac arrest."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Dude, it's not game seven. Chill. Like, this is the fun part about it, you know?"
No, I was telling Roger this earlier. Eileen came home from a very long day. She's had a lot of long days because they are ramping up to launch See It or Skip It on the Rotten Tomatoes coming November 1st at Facebook Watch.
I saw the announcement about that.
So she's, you know, she's in the run-up right now. It's crazy time. So she's kind of watching the show or watching the World Series while she's at work, and we're texting about it. You know, Corey Seager hits a home run and everything. She finally comes home, and she's obviously been listening in the car and then turned the radio off in frustration because she's like, "Did we lose?" Which she is a Dodgers fan. So when she says we, she's talking about her and the Dodgers, not including me. And I was like, "No, it's still tied. You're in extras now." She sits down. She's quiet. She's on her phone. I don't even think she's really paying attention. And then the Dodgers score two to retie. And she leaps out of the chair, scares the crap out of me, screaming and clapping. I'm like, "Wow, I had no idea you were that into this. That's crazy."
Well, you know, that's baseball.
It really scared our dog, too. Ray has never seen anyone cheer for sports before. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. She's like, "What kind of family adopted me?" I don't know where my allegiance lies. Lucy is, you know, she's a Giants fan, but she says she just likes, she just likes, you know, she likes the spectacle, really. That's what she likes. And all the celebs. Oh, that's the fun thing about, you know, being at Dodger Stadium is like, it's like being at a Laker game. Like all the celebs are there, you know?
Yeah, especially during the World Series.
I loved the Vin Scully moment at the beginning of the game. I thought that was so well done. He is just one of the rare, I think, universally beloved figures in sports. And I'm just rooting for him to like just delay the game, just going on whatever weird tangent he wanted to. Just go open mic night. Like they could have delayed that game by an hour.
Well, you know he's got 15 stories in his head. Of course. You know, Yasiel Puig first.
Yeah. No, I forget who I was listening to an interview with, but they were talking about their favorite Vin Scully stories and how the batter was Socrates. The last name was Socrates. And Vin Scully goes on this very Vin Scully like history lesson about the actual Socrates and like fits it in perfectly. Because, of course, like that at bat is 8 minutes. It's not like, you know, immediately a pop up shot. And I don't know. It was great. I thought it was fantastic. He looks, you know, fantastic for his age.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some
lots of reasons that people might look better than their age. Not saying anything.
Clean living.
Just saying.
Healthy lifestyle, doing what you love.
Yeah, right. Just no stress. A lot of meditation.
Yeah.
Do you want a title? No titles?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to call it Earnings Palooza, but let's hear some of your favorites out of the list. What do you got?
It's done. No, don't wait. Bother go with the 8.
You don't have to read the whole list. Just pick your favorites.
No, I don't bother. Go with the 8. Ryzen, not Ryzen. Apple Music is not required.
That's a horrible Ryzen. We didn't bring up
Ryzen. The
neural gas. Yeah. All right.
see.
There's a few Ryzen related.
Yeah, that's weird.
They're all from Poodle Puncher though. So.
Hey, wait, Sarah. So you're saying the Sonos One? This is worth getting if you already have a couple Sonos speakers, huh?
So here's the thing. So I'm in the ecosystem in the sense that I had 3 Sonos speakers before. I had a Play 3 and 2 Play 1s.
Okay.
So if anyone, you know, it's one big one and a couple small ones, and you know, they all hook up to like my central receiver and the whole thing. And yeah, I got 2 Sonos Ones, a black and a white one. And it was sort of a nightmare to set up because there's a Sonos Beta app and long story. Anyway, I figured it out finally today. The sound is incredibly good. Better than I thought it would be. And I think that if you are a person who likes bass, you're still going to need a subwoofer of some kind. And Sonos has one. I already have one that like I can run through my receiver, so I don't need that. I think you do kind of need that if you really care about like amazing sound, but otherwise
you're all about that bass.
Yeah, I am all about the bass. Trouble. Yes. Bass in your face. How low can it go? But baseball season's
underway. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not appropriate right now.
Well, you know, it's all different kind of bass.
They can't go.
But no, it's the sound is really good. It's really good. I'm super pleasantly surprised. And I know that right now all it does is hook into Alexa, but if Google Home and even Siri, I know that's kind of a, you know, just something that Sonos is throwing out right now, but
yeah,
the idea of having multiple service support just makes it cooler than having to choose.
I think I'm going to do it because we don't have a gigantic apartment. We got 1-3 and we got a 1. So it pretty much blankets the entire apartment. And it, specifically, if we got another one, that would be...
Oh, wait, sorry. That one's not appropriate either.
But also, like, I feel like I don't use my speakers all that, my Sonos all that much just because their app is just so janky and I just never remember to like, oh, I gotta open the music in the app and it's not in the thing. And
well, and also Sonos has rightfully been criticized for being like, okay, well, amazing sound, but yeah, like the UI is what it is, and there's all these other services that it's not tapping into. So
yeah,
that's for me. It's, and I don't have a big apartment either. Yeah. I have 5 Sonos speakers. It's like, I don't need 5, but I have them. Yeah. Put them in my bathroom. But.
Yeah, that was not appropriate after last night either. Sorry.
That's a great song. Randy Newman, American Hero.
Randy Newman's a weird guy, man. Yeah.
He's a very weird guy.
Like he got like a Grammy for Toy Story or something. Where I'm like, oh, Randy, God, what are you doing?
Hey, wait a minute. How about this one here, Tom? little Houston by the Gatlin Brothers.
There we go. That's probably the only one. Or what? I don't even know what this one is here.
It kind of sounded a little.
I don't know what it is. I've never even been to Houston.
Yeah.
But I like Houston. I like my friends who are from Houston.
Yep.
I like music from Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I feel like I would have a good time if I went to Houston. Houston had a tough year.
Yeah.
They did.
I'm into it. Exactly.
You know, here's the thing. I used to diss Houston when I lived in Austin until I visited Dallas. Just sort of kidding. No, I actually feel exactly the same way as you, Sarah. I have great friends from Houston. I've had wonderful times in Houston. They have lovely museums. They've definitely had a rough year. If my wife was not a Dodger fan and I didn't live here, I'd probably be on the only thing weird about the Astros, though, is they're a National League team. I still haven't got used to them being.
No, that does seem like an odd thing that's happening where accidentally they let 2 National League teams in the World Series.
The World Series, yeah, really. I have not got used to them being an American League team. Because when Verlander was batting and they were talking about he hasn't had a lot of chances to bat, I'm like, why? He's in, oh, right.
They're an
American. You know, fun fact about the Astros, this is a decade ago or so, but I happened to grow up back in Sebastopol, California, small little town, with a guy named Jason Lane. He was not related to me, but everybody, we were same grade and everything. Sarah Lane, Jason Lane. Yeah. He also had a twin brother named John Lane. Everybody thought that we were triplets. Jason Lane ended up playing for the Astros.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And what, you know, like he was like really good. And so after many years as children of just being like, screw him, that is not my brother. I was like, yay, Jason Lane, kind of like my brother.
Remember when we were brothers?
I was like, that's like the epitome of like bandwagoning is like,
oh, yeah.
Bandwagoning on my name.
And he's like, yeah, you've never liked me.
No, I never did. But
he's still playing.
I guess he's pitching.
He was a pitcher for the Padres.
Kind of big deal with the Astros at some point.
He is with the Padres now.
No, I thought he was coaching now.
You're right. Last active year was 2014, but he's still with the Padres now as a coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it was, it just, you know, it's kind of like hometown hero, right? Like, not many people that I know play for Major League Baseball. So because of that, I was like, also kind of like the Astros because of my non-brother.
Yes, because of your fake brother.
Because of the guy you used to not like.
I liked him fine. I just didn't want anyone to think he was my brother. He wasn't.
They're like, so Sarah, without an H, are you Jason Lane's brother? And you're like, screw you twice.
Yeah, like that's there is no bigger grievance I would have than that conversation. No, wonderful kids. Just one of those things where everyone's like, oh, you're obviously all twins, triplets.
Well, yeah, smaller town, you know, similar name, similar age. You look just like him, obviously.
Same name and same age. And didn't really look alike. They were real tall and athletic.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, Jason Lane, if you're listening, I support you a lot. I'm sorry for being so horrible earlier in our lives.
That's the headline. Sarah Lane finally apologizes on the pro show of DTNS.
Sarah Lane supports assistant coach of Padres, Jason Lane.
Breaks down and apologizes in longtime feud.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you all for watching. And don't forget, big day tomorrow, final Friday, hour-long episode. It's our roundtable. So many of you have been clamoring for us to do roundtable episodes. So be patient with us. It'll be our first one. We're going to try a format, see how it goes. You guys let us know what you like, what you don't about it, and we'll keep iterating from there. But I can't ask for a better cast. Panel's a good word. Yeah. Can't ask for a better panel. So we'll see you there tomorrow.
Hi, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
And patrons, you made this happen. You made this possible. So be sure to tune in. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're the best ones.